chapter number 7. Let's read. Let's start off from 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Then let's come on to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, for this to happen, for him to be our God, therefore, what we need to do, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, which promises? The promises in the verse 17, 18 of chapter 6, that come out from among them, and he will be our father. So since we have this promise, what we need to do? Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So once we are separated, that's not done. We are not sanctified. After we come out, we need to cleanse ourselves. And this is a thorough cleansing, not only of the flesh, but pollution in the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's like after you had a dusty ride and you came out of the desert and you came to us in a house which is good, which is not dirty like the desert. But after coming in the house, there is the dirt, there is the dust, there are the bacteria, that is whatever is on your hair, on your body. Then you need to go to the toilet and take a good bath with a good soap or a body wash, whatever. So once we come out, we cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That is not my sermon, but I'm prompted because I, when I was praying in the beginning, I saw this wooden sticks, and through the wooden sticks there was a hand that was holding the wooden stick, and the wooden stick had threads and it was connected to people, and the hand was like the puppet show. They do that, and it was controlling, and I was breaking. I was praying against it, but it was not breaking. I said, Lord, why it is not breaking? The Lord said, because something in the lives of my people aligned to them. That's why they are able to have control. But if we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and give no alignment in our life to them, the yokes of control will be broken. Hallelujah. And tonight, I pray even at the release of this word and the reception of this word by God's people, the yokes should be broken. The yokes of high places should be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whenever the Bible talks about iniquity, the Lord says, I will not hear them because they walk in the iniquity. What is walking in the iniquity? Iniquity is not like sin. Iniquity is something that was inherited from flesh and blood. And walking in the iniquity means you are walking in the same thing that they walked in. That's why iniquity is able to have expression. So when we disconnect ourselves from sinful habits that were inherited from somewhere, we break ourselves and we surrender our lives to the Lord on his altar. You know what? The iniquity power, the strings cannot control us. The yoke cannot control us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Break away from iniquity in Jesus' mighty name. Let your people break away, oh Lord. Anything in us that does not align, Lord, with you, but aligns with darkness, uproot it, Lord. Uproot it. That is what the prayer of David was. Try me and know my heart. Search me and know my anxieties. Oh, Lord God, that is what David prayed. Oh, Reza Bataya Shaketo, yeah. Hey, Fronziana, uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray once again, take over this place. Thank you for your spirit, Holy Spirit, that is helping me, Lord. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that you, Lord, speak the utterance of God, and Holy Spirit, that you will, Lord, you will keep all the people of God, all the children of God who are here, under your, Lord, influence, under your power, Lord, in this place, in Jesus' name, that the words and the utterance of God will transform, change their lives, break yokes, deliver them, heal them, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. We ask this prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for this time once again, and thank God for everyone who are here. God bless everyone. And we are on an important subject. We are on an important subject. The subject is about God's wisdom. We are continuing. I think this is the sixth. Yes, this is the sixth part. And let me take you, before we begin, let me take you to the main scripture in Proverbs chapter number 9. Let's go there again. I'm taking you there again before we start. For the benefit of those who missed the meeting, so that they know from where we are continuing, from where we are coming here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 13 to 18, and also verse number 1 to 6. I'm not reading that. Verse number 1 to 6, God's wisdom stays inside the house. Of God does not goes out of the house. Rather, God's wisdom sends maiden outside to bring people inside the house of God for them to receive wisdom. Well, verse number 13 to 18, the fake wisdom, the clamorous woman, she sits outside the house. And she's the one who cries out and brings people forcefully, demanding, protesting. That is the clamorous voice, confusing voice. She brings people and then they eat stolen water and bread. That is the fake wisdom. That is the clamorous wisdom. Now what we were looking at is the place from where they are operating. God's wisdom operates from a house, from a tabernacle. Fake wisdom operates from a high place. That is what verse number 14 says, that she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city. All right. So I told you that if we need to offer sacrifices unto the Lord, God does not want us to offer sacrifices to him from a high place. I showed you from the Bible, David used to pray to the Lord in the tabernacle of the Lord. And the Bible says Solomon followed all the ways of his father David, but except when Solomon would sacrifice to the Lord, he would go on a high place. That is something that Solomon did not follow. So I'm not going into that. I showed you from the scripture. So I told you what is a high place? What is the house of God? The house of God is the place, is the building, is the tabernacle where God instructed to build. Every measurement was given by God. Every measurement, every bit of it, the material that needs supposed to be used, that was given by God, and that then the tabernacle was built. So a place which is built by God himself, as per his word, as per his wisdom, we are supposed to offer sacrifices unto the Lord in that place, inside the house, which is built by God. Rather, a high place is a place that is not built by God, but people go there and sacrifice. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The Bible says when Moses built the tabernacle, as per the measurements given to him, the glory of the Lord came inside the tabernacle when Moses built it exactly as per the measurements of God. If Moses would have built something else, God's glory wouldn't have come. So that is a church. But many churches are not tabernacles. They are high places because pastors have built something which was not given to them by God. And then they worship, praise, pray there. That is a high place. That is not a house of God. Are we understanding? A high place and the house of God. A high place is the releaser of fake wisdom, of counterfeit wisdom. So you may go in that place and they are worshiping, they are praising, they are doing all sorts of spiritual activities that looks good, but the place built, in the place where they are, the foundation on which they are standing, the atmosphere in which they are in is not built as per the instruction of God. God did not ordain that place for them to be in. That is a high place. All right. So let's go ahead. So that is the difference between the high place and the house of God. Mm-hmm. So Christians, so when the temple of God was not built, people of Israel used to sacrifice on high places. I told you about David coming in, building the temple of praise, the tabernacle once again, and he restoring praise and worship, and there they started to. But Solomon became a victim of seducing spirits. Okay? And seducing spirits operate through high places. All right? Seducing spirit what? Operate through high places. What are high places? High places are locations of altars, ritual, sacrificial activities unto a deity who executes governance, surveillance, and control over territories. That is a high place. I have already given you the definition in the earlier sermon, so I'm not going into that. What is a seducing spirit that operates from a high place? Seducing spirit is a spirit which lures men and women into a covenant with a god, altar of the high place. All right. Let's go to where we stopped. 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. Okay, so here we see the man of God who came from Bethel to cry against the high places that Jeroboam had built. All right, I have already taken those things. So Jeroboam built a shrine in Dan and Bethel. He said, people of God, don't go to Jerusalem. Because Israel and Judah were divided, don't go to Jerusalem, come to the shrine that I have built in Dan and Bethel. And he ordained people to be priests at his high place, which were not of the tribe of Levi. I have explained everything. I'm not going into that. But there a man of God in chapter 13 came and cried out against the altar. O altar, O altar. Thus says the Lord, behold, a child Josiah by name. Today our topic would be Josiah. By name shall be born to the house of David. On you he shall sacrifice the priests of high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. So he cried against the destruction of high places. This is the will of God. God, what he is doing now, he is raising a apostolic and prophetic generation who would rise up like Josiah to destroy high places. Josiah signifies Jesus. We will come to that, how he signifies Jesus. All right. So this is what the man of God prophesied. So I will not go into, but let me give you a gist and then we will begin for today. So the man of God cried out, and then Jeroboam came and stretched out his hand against the man of God. His hand withered, and then Jeroboam repented, fake repentance. Oh, please pray for me. He prayed and the hand was restored, and he said, come and eat at my house. Drink and eat, Jeroboam said. The man of God said, God told me not to eat or drink anywhere, just to do the work and come. That is the clamorous woman that offers stolen water and bread. Are you understanding? That is the Proverbs chapter number 9. That's why God told him not to eat, because it is a house of the clamorous woman, the high place. Do we understand that? And Jeroboam there represents the seducing spirit. So the man of God escaped the first attack. We think that after we destroy altars, we are safe. No, the seducing spirits will find out another way. What they will try to do is try to make us eat of the stolen water and the bread, so that our life is destroyed when we violate the law of the altar we are serving, that is the altar of God, by eating at the house of another altar. Are we understanding? So when that plan failed, the seducing spirit got into one of the old prophet who was not in active service with God. What do I mean? I mean that there are many prophets, but all of them are not in active service with God. Some of them have lost their hearing. Though, and some of them, few of them are still hearing God and still connected in holiness with the Lord, with his presence. They are in active service. So the Bible says one of the old prophets, an old prophet represents a man who was a prophet, but he is not in active service. He is disconnected. So he said, come and eat at my house, man of God. He said, no, I am commanded by the Lord not to eat. But he said, an angel came to me and said, you should bring him. It was the angel, the entity of the high place, the seducing spirit. And the man of God agreed, okay, let's go and eat. Let's go and eat. And the man of God ate of what? In the house of the clamorous woman. He ate bread, drank water, and the Bible says he died. A lion killed him. Who is the lion? The lion is the supervising spirit of the altar of God, the Lion of Judah. That's why a lion came and killed him, because the man of God violated the law of the altar of God. Hallelujah. So I want to show you from the scripture that the altar of the clamorous woman, the high place of the clamorous woman, is fighting against the maidens of God's wisdom. Remember, wisdom sends out her maidens to cry out to the city, to the people, to bring them in the house of God so that they may receive. Who is the maiden? Maiden is the prophet, the maiden of wisdom. The apostle is a maiden of wisdom. You are the maiden of wisdom, whom wisdom will ordain and send you out to bring in people. So when you do that, you will be at war against the high place of the clamorous woman. This prophet was the maiden of wisdom sent against the altar of the clamorous woman that Jeroboam set up. And when he prophesied against the altar of the clamorous woman was defeated. The altar was defeated by the prophecy. But what they started to do is, once we defeat them in terms of power, they use another equipment called seduction to take hold of us. Seduction is a weaponry of deception. Come and eat with me. We are your friends. I am also like you. I am like an old prophet. I am your friend. Oh, please pray for me. You are a powerful man of God. Are we understanding that? And the clamorous woman wanted to seduce. In this scripture, this clamorous woman was Jeroboam. Then the clamorous woman was the old prophet who was trying to bring in the prophet to eat stolen water and bread that leads to death, that leads to hell. Are we understanding now the scripture? This is high places, is the location of altars from where the seducing spirit operates. Apostle Paul says that very clearly in the book of Timothy, that in the later times, men will be given up to seducing spirits and doctrine of demons. Seducing spirit is the spirit, and the doctrine of demons is the stolen water and the bread eaten in secret. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? All right. I am prompted to go to Luke chapter number 4. Before I go and continue on high places, I want to open your Bible to Luke chapter number 4. I will read for you from Proverbs chapter number 9 once again, so that you know what is the scripture saying. So you open your Bible to Luke chapter number 4, okay? And before I start reading from that chapter, I'm just reading out from Proverbs 9 again. You just hear me out what I'm saying once again. It says verse 13, Proverbs 9:13. Just hear me out, okay? A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knows nothing. That means she has no original content. That's the devil. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, So this is also what the wisdom cries out. Wisdom also cries out, verse number 4. Whoever is simple, let him turn in ear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. So what I'm saying, the words that the wisdom, the God's wisdom and fake wisdom uses are similar. So the person who lives on the surface level, the believer, cannot discern the fake woman because they go by the words. The words are similar, but the content is fake. Then she says, whoever is simple, come in here, and who lacks understanding, she says to him, verse 17, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So the content, when the person, someone called you, come, I will give you something good. And the words that he uses looks like that of the gospel from the Bible. But when once you come with them inside the house, the real content that they offer to you is demonic to give to you to eat. That is what happened with the man of God. God clearly instructed him not to eat anywhere. But the old prophet was successful by finding similarity in both of them. I am also like a prophet like you, and an angel, like an angel talks to you, angel talks to me. So the words were similar. Are you understanding? The pattern was similar. He sounds Christian. He sounds believer. He sounds as a true man of God. But then after that, his content, what he's saying, you come and eat with me. You see, that is contrary to what you heard from God. So someone would find similarity and said, we are like you, we are preaching, we are this, we are that, I am. And then you believe through the outward appearance and through the outward words, this is a man of God. And then the content that they will start to release, that is stolen water and bread, those things that they are speaking will be contrary to this, to the Bible. Okay, are we understanding now? So stolen water and bread eaten in secret. Once you start to eat of it, you become a partaker of the house of the clamorous woman. And the wisdom of God departs from you. Okay, are we understanding now? Luke, let's go now to Luke chapter number 4. Let's see what was happening to Jesus after he fasted and prayed. Luke chapter number 4. Jesus was under attack by a seducing spirit, that is the devil, operating as a seducing spirit from a high place. All right. Verse number 1, Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Jesus himself, he went for 40 days, and the Bible says he ate nothing and he was hungry. So he did not went on a dry fast. He went on a liquid fast. He drank, but he did not eat. Are we understanding? So I just a instruction to those people who want to fast. Jesus himself did not decide the 40-day fast. It says in one verse number 1, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, he went on the fast. So the fast was decided by the Holy Spirit. And what kind of fast needs to be done was also decided by the Holy Spirit. A liquid fast. Okay? Not a dry fast. Okay? People try to go on a dry fast. They destroy their bodies because dry fast is not for everyone. Dry fast can last up to 3 days. 3 days. I went once on a dry fast after many years in the Lord. That too, the Lord told me. That's why I went for 3 days. Because people just come up, they think if I increase my length of fast and the intensity of fast, God will hear me. It's not like that. It's not like that. You cannot decide to go on a hunger strike, on a thirst, on a water strike and demand on God and God will. No, it does not happen like that. Fastings are being instructed by the Holy Spirit. What kind of fast should be taken. A believer fasting for 40 days like Jesus, who is just a believer, not even doing ministry, that fast is not from the Lord. 40 days fasting are from for high level principalities. And you why did you go on a 40 day fast, brother? Oh, because I wanted a job. What nonsense. 40 days fast for a job? Any which ways. Listen. So that was, he was led by the Spirit, and then he was tempted by the devil 40 days. He was continuously tempted. Verse number 3. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, see what he says. Command this stone to become bread. He talks about eating. He talks about eating. He talks about making the stone into bread. But Jesus answered, saying, it is written. Listen, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What does that mean? That means you, your bread that you are commanding me to turn the stone into bread, man shall not live by that stolen bread, fake bread. Man shall live by the real bread, that is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Okay? Stay with me. So, let's go ahead. Then I will talk. Verse number 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This is a high place now. This is a high place. Okay? Where he took him to a high place on the top of the mountain. And in a moment of time, within seconds, he saw all the kingdoms. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms. Why? Because high places are portals through which you can do a surveillance throughout the territory. Like a telescope, you go on the mountains, you know, for sightseeing, they have a telescope, big one. And through the telescope, they will show you, okay, that is the Niagara Waterfalls point. That is the house of this celebrity there on the mountain. They took a place, and from there, from the telescope, you can do surveillance. So a high place is a place of deity worship, of an altar, where you, in a moment of time, you don't have to travel to those places. You can do a surveillance of the territory that is been captivated by the high place. So this seducing spirit took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms that were under him, and told Jesus, you know what, these all kingdoms are, I have. If you can bow down and worship me, I will give it to you. Jesus said, okay, Jesus counterattacked Satan. Get behind me. Okay. Get behind me, Satan. Okay, what is that? And the devil said to him, all the authority I will give you, verse number 6, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Whatever Jesus is using is from the scripture. It's from the scripture, whatever Jesus is using against the devil. It's from the archives of the wisdom, of the house of wisdom. If you don't have revelations from the house of wisdom, you cannot fight the seducing spirit. You cannot counterattack the seducing spirit. Because seducing spirit, the seduction is so strong that it is strongly luring you into the deception that will make you a part of the covenant of the deity of the altar of the high place. Okay, let's go to the third temptation. Verse number 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, This is the high place of God, which was not ruled by God at currently. Stay with me. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Now the devil is using scripture. Now the devil is using scripture. He's sounding similar. He's using the word. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. All right. The third temptation, the Bible says, these are high places. The world, the earth has different high places. The book of Micah talks about God will come down from heaven and tread upon the high places of the earth. All right. The third temptation was the most difficult to discern and resist, because the devil took Jesus on the high place of the Temple Mount, Jerusalem. So it looks like church. It looks like God's temple. But Jesus knew that the temple was not under the Spirit of God, the temple of Jerusalem at that time. That's why Jesus came to break that temple that was a high place unto the devil. Hallelujah. Stay with me. The temple of Jerusalem, don't get me wrong, I'm talking scripture. I'm not, listen to me. The temple of Jerusalem was not the temple that served God of the third heaven, the Jehovah God. It was not serving God. If it was serving God, Jesus would not have spoken about destroying the temple. Jesus would not have spoken. After the death of Jesus, the temple would not have torn into two pieces. It was a high place. It was a so-called church where people came to worship God, but they were worshiping a deity. Oh, God. Hallelujah. That is the state of the current church. We think we are going to church to worship God, but it's a high place upon which the devil is sitting like this. And Jesus is coming. Jesus is already coming. Josiah is Jesus, who is promised by the prophet, who will be a destroyer of that high place. I will show you the similarity. Josiah destroyed the high places. Here Jesus destroyed the temple. We will see that. So he took Jesus on the Temple Mount and said, if you are the Son of God, you throw yourself down. Because the Bible says, the word, the stolen water he is giving to Jesus. The Bible says if you throw yourself down, angels will come and protect you. Throw yourself. But Jesus counter-attacked the clamorous spirit, the seducing spirit. He said, it is also written, do not tempt the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you, the Bible says that men will give into seducing spirit and doctrines of demons in the last days. The doctrine of demons is what the devil is offering to Jesus. After men go on a fast, they attract a realm from where the demons will come. The fake wisdom will attack them. And some of the people and servants of God, they say, I went on a 40 days fast and these are the doctrines that God gave me. And the doctrines that God, so-called God gave them, is not as per the Bible. They come up with weird doctrines because they were not fasting in the Spirit of God and in purity of heart and of intention, because of which they encountered a wisdom which was of the clamorous woman. Okay, now why the Bible says that the clamorous woman has stolen water and fake bread? Because the clamorous woman has nothing of herself. Do you know the devil does not has a teaching to give to you? The devil does not has an original content. The Bible says he has been a father. He has been the father of lies from the beginning. The father of lies. The murderer. Lie. What is a lie? Lie is a doct. Lie is some words which are not original. It's taken from somewhere. It's taken from somewhere. It's taken from somewhere. And then something is added. Something is subtracted. And then it becomes a lie. Something is twisted. And then it becomes a lie. Okay. The wisdom of the clamorous woman, the content has come from the Bible. The content has come from the archives of God. But they don't understand the meaning. That's why they add, they subtract, they twist, and they give it to people. Okay? Stolen water and fake bread is what the clamorous spirit offers to you. I told you an example. For example, Mary Barral is having a restaurant where people come to eat her food. Very tasty. She cooks so tasty. And through the course of time, people who ate her food became very healthy, became very full of health and energy. Wonderful food she is making. People are eating, they are coming and eating, they because she is eating, making delicious food at the same time, very healthy, very healthy. So I covet her business. I want people to come and eat my food, but I don't know to cook. I don't know what ingredients to put in the food. So I go through the window of her kitchen and see what she is doing. I see her she is putting a vessel on the gas, and she is pouring water, boiling water, putting this vegetable, putting beef, putting steak, putting this. And so I note down everything. And after noting down everything that Mary is doing, I come to my kitchen and try to make the same food with the instructions that I copied from her. Put the vessel, boil the water, put the vegetable, put the beef, put this, put salt. And then after cooking, I taste it and I vomit it out because it's pathetic. I said, what is that? I copied what she is doing, but did not produce the same result. So then I started to see, but I want to copy her business. I want the same people that she is having to come to me. So what I do is, since I don't have the ability to, the copied elements are not producing the desired results, I search out a chemical from the market that if I put the chemical in this food, the food will be tasty to the tongue and addictive. So I bring that chemical, I mix it in the food, which I copied from her. And then I sell the food and people start to come because it's addictive. It's addictive. It's addictive. People start to get addicted to my food. But the difference between my food is also delicious, her food is also delicious. Okay? People, this food is also delicious. Her food is also delicious. But after eating her food, people are healthy. They are not sick. But after eating my food, since it has an addition of chemicals to it, manipulation, people enjoy it. But after a point of time, they become sick and die. That is the devil's content. Are we understanding? That is stolen water, bread eaten. Takes off the scripture. Some people, for a Christian to rise above the level of deception, they need to discern the food. Because some Christians say, Mary is also making good food. I'm eating from Mary. Brother Raul is also making good food. His food is also delicious. So they are going by the taste. But if they discern the contents and the ingredients and what is inside of it, they will know that I'm a fake chef and she's the real chef. Are we understanding that? That is how Christians are at the surface level. Oh, I am hearing my morning devotion from this prophet. I am praying in tongues with that prophet in the afternoon. But you don't, you are discerning by the taste. You have to go to the ingredients and search out. Are we understanding? And then I also Friday, Saturday, Sunday, listen to Apostle Raul. His revelations are fantastic. So you are eating good food, you are eating bad food. The result is your health will be destroyed because there is a mixture of the house of wisdom both of them don't go together. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I'm talking of the fake. That is what the devil came. If you are the son of God, use your anointing. If you are the son of God, throw yourself. This is the scripture. He brings the scripture, but it's outside of the context of the wisdom of God. All right. So that is the high place from where the devil operates. Okay. Let's go to some scripture of the high places. We saw the high place Jeroboam built. We will see Judah also built up high places. 1 Kings chapter number 14. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter number 14. Verse number 22 and 23. Hallelujah. First Kings chapter number 14, verse number 22 to 23. Okay. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images, on every high hill and under every green tree. Okay, so Judah started to build high places. Look at the timeline. David was there. Until David, there was no high places because people of God would worship in the temple of God. But when David's reign shifted to Solomon, Solomon started to build high places to the foreign gods of his wives, Chemosh and the abomination of Ammonites and all those gods, Molech, Baal, all those gods. Solomon started it off. Then after Solomon, Rehoboam came. Then Israel and Judah separated. Rehoboam also started to build high places, Judah. Jeroboam, who ruled Israel, he started to build up the golden calf's abomination, which the prophet came and prophesied against. So look at the timeline. After David's rule was over, Israel started to build up high places. And here is Judah building up high places. So you can read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, also the parallel verses in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. I cannot read those are big books. You can read it after that, how the legacy of high places were carried out. Okay, so but I am going to jump on to 2 Kings now, chapter number 21. 2 Kings, chapter number 21. Let's go there. Second Kings chapter number 21, verse number 1. This is the son of Hezekiah. You know Hezekiah? Hezekiah was the one who prayed to the Lord against Sennacherib. He was a good king. So this is his son who was not a good king, who was a seducing spirit, who had the seducing spirit. Second Kings chapter number 21, verse number 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah the father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord. All right? Right inside the house of the Lord. That is a picture of Babylon taking over the church. So Babylon, when it gets inside the church, Babylon makes the church a high place unto the devil. But it looks like a church. But actually, it's a high place unto the devil. Okay? So, he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. You see, Jerusalem was corrupted. The spiritual Jerusalem is corrupted in our times. Okay? And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Verse number 6, also he made his son pass through the fire. So they make their son pass through fire to a deity called Molech. To a deity called what? Molech. Now the act of God to ask Abraham to bring his son, his only son Isaac, on the mountain of Moriah for his son to be sacrificed there. That the act of God, the command of God to Abraham to do that was to establish a covenanted high place through which God can have authority over the nation. But the good news is when Abraham obeyed, he was ready to kill Isaac. The angel of God stopped Abraham and said, you have obeyed. I will not take your son because God is not interested in children's sacrifices. But God is interested in one child sacrifice, that is his own son, Jesus Christ. So he saw a ram that signified Jesus caught in the thicket. And the ram was sacrificed on the altar. And when the ram was sacrificed on the altar, or on the mountain of Moriah, God said, in this place, I will bless you. I will multiply you. Your descendants will be numerous. And they shall possess the gates of their enemies. Numerous descendants. And God marked that place through a ritual sacrifice of the ram that signifies Jesus Christ as his authority over Moriah. And by the way, Moriah is Jerusalem. And the conquest of Jerusalem started off with Abraham. People of God, are we listening? Are you understanding? The Moriah became God's land, which is now Jerusalem, which is Jerusalem now. Moriah became God's land. How? Through a ritual sacrifice performed by Abraham. Are we understanding? So the reason why these guys sacrificed children on the altar to Molech and to other gods is because the deity wants to make the person who is sacrificing the superintendent, the face of the deity who rules over the land. So the reason behind child sacrifice is because a demonic deity wants a child. Because when a father agrees with a deity to sacrifice his own son that came from his own loins and gives it to the deity, that blood gives the power to the deity to establish rule over a certain territory. And that deity can become a prince, a principality over that certainty, over that certain territory. That's why kings in the Old Testament would give their sons to the God of the high place. Oh God, oh God, oh God. There is a place called Golgotha. And there a father sacrificed his son on the cross. And there, after the sacrifice of a spotless, blameless son of God that happened on Golgotha, God took charge through the blood of his son over the realms of the earth through the place of Golgotha by performing a ritual sacrifice on a high place called Golgotha. Hallelujah. Okay. I know it will take some time. Hallelujah. But if you are understanding a bit, can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am talking on high places.
Amen.
High places. You need to understand high places. Because high places are places from where deities exercise territorial control and dominion. So, let me come back. 2 Kings chapter number 21, verse number 6. Also, he made his son pass through the fire, Manasseh. He gave keys of rulership to the deity of the altars that he was serving on high places by sacrificing his own son. All right. Another scripture that I want to give you. Okay, don't go there. Remember Joshua said after destroying Jericho, whoever wants to rebuild the city of Jericho will rebuild it at will lay the foundation of it at the cost of the blood of his own child. Otherwise, Jericho cannot be built. Okay. That means Joshua took over Jericho and brought it under the rule of God, under the rule of heaven. That which was ruled by demons once through the power of a high place. And Joshua said, if someone wants to break the rule of heaven that I brought in Jericho, for someone to do that, he has to sacrifice his blood, his son, his child to a deity. And then they will be able to rebuild. Then they will be able to rebuild the foundation of Jericho. Hallelujah. We are talking about territorial dominion, how it happens. It happens through seducing spirits on high places. It happens through that. Hallelujah. It happens through children's sacrifices. Okay, verse number 6. Also, he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in the house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put I will put my name forever. Okay, stay there. So what he started to do? He started to make the house of God a high place unto demonic deities. Manasseh, he started to do that. Manasseh is the seducing spirit operating through a man. Because remember, I gave you the four characteristics of a seducing spirit. One of the characteristics of the seducing spirit, because we think seducing spirit is a woman. No, seducing spirit can operate through men. And bring people in her house to partake of the sacrifices of high places. So Manasseh was the one who started to pollute Israel big time. He started to pollute Israel big time. But 2 Kings chapter number 23 comes the promised son, Josiah, who signifies Jesus. Okay, 2 Kings chapter number 23. Remember the prophet cried out the prophecy, Josiah shall come, a son who will be born, who will destroy the priesthood, kill all the priests who are the priests of the high places and destroy the altars. So Josiah comes in 2 Kings chapter number 23. All right. Are we ready to go in 2 Kings chapter number 23? It's a big scripture. I'm going to read everything there. All right. Verse number 1. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. Who? King Josiah. Verse number 2. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The priest and the prophet and all the people, both small and great. And he read in the hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Okay, what is happening here, people of God? Josiah does not know when he was born that a prophecy was made for him around 3-5 centuries back, that he is the one who will destroy the high place. Josiah does not know because he came out of the womb of a woman. For him to stir up the work that he was ordained before the foundation of the world was laid, the purpose of God in him was stirred up when he opened the Bible and started to read. Hallelujah. When he opened the book of the law, his heart was stirred up. And he made covenant with the Lord. Lord, I will obey everything that your word has said. Because his purpose was hidden in the scripture of God. Okay. Do you understand? So, you might have a purpose that someone prophesied about you in a long time ago. But you cannot find the purpose unless you read the scripture. Unless you open the book of the law of God. So that is what happened here in the book of 2 Kings 23. Let's continue on verse number 4. Okay. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. He removed the high priest who did idolatry, and he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord were the women wove hangings in the wooden images. All right, stop there. This is Josiah, and this is the things and the ministry that Jesus would do. What he was doing? Josiah, taking out all the wooden images, the furniture made to foreign gods, and taking out everything. Let me show you what Jesus did. Matthew 21, verse number 12 and 13. Matthew 21, verse number 12 and 13. Okay. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." So Josiah signifies Jesus' ministry, and Jesus' ministry signifies my ministry. Are you understanding? That is what we are called to do. We are supposed to destroy high places.
Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
If your house is a high place that your ancestors brought articles that were given to deities, become a Josiah tonight and go and take it and throw it out. Hallelujah. Burn it to ashes, all those things that were there in your house that your ancestors had given dedications to the deities of the high places. That is what Josiah did. That is what signified Jesus' ministry. That is what signifies yours and my ministry. All right, let's look ahead. Verse number 8. We are on 2 Kings chapter number 23, verse number 8. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priest had burned incense from Jeba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. Okay, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. So their child sacrifices were happening where? Defiled, which Topheth, in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Their people were giving children to pass through the fire unto Molech. And Molech accepts the children's sacrifices for territorial dominion through the high place. Okay. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there, and threw that dust into the brook of Kidron. You see, when you start to destroy altar, there is not one. There are so many. That holds the purposes of God. And I decree and I prophesy that you will locate every altar, every high place hidden in darkness and corners, and you will take every bit of it and destroy it tonight. Destroy it tonight.
So be it.
Hallelujah. Verse 12, the altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahab. Okay, I read that. Okay. Verse number 13, then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of Ammon. Multiple high places by different ancestors he had to destroy. Okay, and he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Exactly what the prophet prophesied, that the altars will fill with the dead bones of men by Josiah. That is what he is doing. Exactly what is written about Josiah. That is what he is performing. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down, and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar. Oh God. And then defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what gravestone is that? Is this that I see? So the men of the city told him, it is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no one move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Okay, bones. He says, all the bones were taken because there is witchcraft done through the bones of dead people also. Have you seen in the movies, they put the skeletons, they put the bones, and witches to take the bones, they take the skull and all those nonsense. It's not nonsense, it's reality. He destroyed all the bones that were prospect elements for people to perform witchcraft. He burned all those bones through which people would perform witchcraft from the tombs. Okay, any which ways, I'm not going into that. Verse number 19. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places. I told you, what is a shrine? Shrine is an object where they encapsulate the power and the utterance of a spirit being. Like the divining ball is a shrine. Like the voodoo board. They call in spirit in the voodoo board. And the voodoo board, it's a shrine that is set up, in which spirits are being called into that object for it to show them direction, show them the future, or tell them things to happen, and all sorts of things. So he brought down all those shrines of the high places, where in the cities of the Samaria, which the king of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them. And he returned to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He executed the priests. When you are praying against high places, the high places are finding power to attack you because of the priest, men, flesh and blood, human beings that are serving that high place. And the Bible says, he also destroyed, killed the priests of the high places. And Jesus said, my sword is going to come in the church, which is my word, my sword. And it will kill everyone whom it will destroy, the priests of the high place, who are sitting in the church, making the house of God a marketplace, a high place unto deities. All right, this is Josiah. Did we see that? This is Josiah. One of the things that Josiah did that signified Jesus' work and ministry, I showed you, Matthew 21, verse number 12, 13. Draw out the money changers, draw out everyone from the temple. The second thing that Jesus did, he said, I will destroy the temple. Built it up in 3 days. Okay. John chapter number 2. Let's go there. John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, verse number 16 onwards. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. All right. Now, do you know why the devil in the desert, in the temptation time, came on the mountain of Jerusalem, Temple Mount of Jerusalem, and started to tempt Jesus? Because the house of God in Jerusalem was a high place unto the devil. And Jesus wanted to break that. Jesus wanted to destroy not the house of God, but the house of God turned into a high place unto the devil. Okay. So verse number 16, he said to those people, stop making my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. He talked about his bodily sacrifice, that he will become the human sacrifice. He will become the human sacrifice, that through that sacrifice, he will build the temple of God on earth. Okay, stay with me. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days? Jews did not understand what he was saying. Verse number 21. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. All right, all right. Listen now. Listen now. This is what Jesus came to do. This is what Jesus came to do. He was the ram. He is the ram that was sacrificed by Abraham, through which God took authority over the place Moriah, which is now Jerusalem. He was the signified the ram which was sacrificed on the high places, on the high place of Moriah. Do you know the Bible is centered around altars, priesthood, high places? Yes. Because you and me are redeemed. You and me are redeemed from seducing spirit that is going to take the world to hell, by a human sacrifice that was performed on the high place of Golgotha. And there the body was broken. The temple was broken. Hallelujah. And given up to the Lord, and the Spirit of God raised up Jesus back on the third day. That through his death and resurrection, through his death and resurrection, there will be redemption for everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus and receives him as their Lord and Savior. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? So that is what Jesus came to do. That is what Jesus came to do. So first of all, Jesus signified Josiah in driving out all the money changers, all the furniture. And secondly, he signified Josiah because he was going to destroy the temple. The temple was his own body of flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Because in the realm of the spirit, it is through high places that governance and surveillance and control is executed by a spirit being. And God wanted to destroy the rule and reign of seducing spirits of the devil that he had over the face of the earth through altars, through high places. So he decided that I will perform a sacrifice on the high places, but I don't want to kill my sons and daughters whom I have formed. Let me send my only begotten son on the earth, that he will take the place for them to die on the high place, so that I can, through the sacrifice of my own son, can execute rule and authority and reign over the realms of the earth. So that is why whoever goes, that's why Jesus said, not every way, not every truth, but I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one can get to the Father except through me. So, what is Jesus saying? Whoever goes through me, through my finished work, through the altar on which I died, the cross, the place of Golgotha, whoever goes through me to the Father, hallelujah, will receive authority from the spirit being to execute the reign of heaven on the face of the earth. So, there are not... No, There is not one way, there is only one way. Only one way. That is Jesus. There are not several high places you can go to, do this, do that. There is only one way, Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross in Golgotha, that high place. If you go through him, if you go through him, you can access the power, the authority of the Father that he can give you to exercise his dominion on the face of the earth. How Manasseh became the superintendent, the authority of the demonic beings that he was sacrificing to. But he had to sacrifice his own son. You don't have to sacrifice your own children, because God sent his only begotten son to be sacrificed for you. That through him, you can exercise kingship over the realms of the earth. High places. Are we understanding that? High places. High places. High places. Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12. Let's go there. Now, those who were there in the series of wisdom, you know that I told you from the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Yes, from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3 and 4. Hold on. Let's go. Book of Ephesians, before we go to Revelation. Ephesians. Hallelujah. You need to know high places, people of God. High places, because you are called to destroy high places. You are called to destroy high places by the power of Christ. Ephesians chapter number... Yes, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 20 onwards. Let me read that out to you. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 20. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It's called the church. The church, not a high place, but built by stones, foundation, the apostolic and the prophetic. Chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. I've already told you the altar of living stones. That is a church where we offer sacrifices unto the Lord, okay, through which he finds authority to execute his rule and reign over the face of the earth. All right. Verse number 22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, moving on to chapter number 3. Let's jump to verse number 3. Chapter Ephesians 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and at it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. It is talking about body. It is talking about building. It is talking about the altar. The church is an altar. The church is a body. That is the body of Christ. Remember, he broke his body. He broke the temple. He broke his body. And by the Spirit of God, it built again. Now, this is the new body. Now, the new body is you and me coming together like stones, forming up a holy altar that is not polluted by the high places of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is what a church is supposed to be, where the devil cannot sit above it. Devil cannot sit above a true church of God, because it's an altar that is contrary to that of the devil. Okay. So, verse number 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effecting working of his power, to me who am less... Okay, let's skip that. Verse number 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. This is wisdom, hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. This is where I started off the series of wisdom. Manifold wisdom, the hidden wisdom of God, should be made known by who? By the church. You and me, to who? To the principality. Principality is the deity of the high place. And powers. Powers are the demons under the principality of the high place. So I want you to bring back to you to the purpose that you have in the body of Christ. The purpose that you have, the warfare that you are fighting in the body of Christ, is you, the church, should reveal the manifold wisdom of God to the fake house of wisdom, to the seducing spirit. So God is going to show forth and birth through the church Christ. And Christ is the wisdom of God that will be birthed through the church. And that wisdom is going to destroy the high place of the seducing spirit, and the seducing spirit, the snake himself. Do you understand this picture? Now, keeping this picture in mind, read with me Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12. Now, verse number 1. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. That sun signifies the glory of God. And with the moon under her feet. Moon signifies darkness that will be under her feet. And on her head, a garland of 12 stars. Remember, what are 12? 12 stones that Joshua set up in Gilgal. 12 apostles. So her authority on her head is a 12 star crown that signifies it's the church which is clothed with the glory of God, and darkness is under the feet of the church, and she has the authority, the apostolic authority of an altar. Let me come again. Hallelujah. Amen. Copy there. Let me read again. Okay. Let's try again. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. This is a woman clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, and on her head a garland, a crown of 12 stars. This is the church clothed with the glory of God. Darkness, the devil, the serpent under her feet, and the authority she carries is 12 stars, signifies 12 stones, signifies altar, signifies 12 apostles. So the authority that she carries is of the altar of God, the apostolic authority through the altar, that is the church. This is the woman. Verse number 2. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. This is the seducing spirit. This is the snake. This is the dragon. This is the clamorous woman. Okay? Verse number 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That's his army. So this is the principality. The stars of heaven that he drew them off is powers. I want you to compare this to Ephesians chapter number 3. God wants to show forth his wisdom through the church, to the principality and power, dragons and stars. Are you understanding Ephesians 3 and Revelation 12? Okay, let me go ahead. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. What is the child? The child is Jesus Christ. The child signifies God birthing his wisdom through his true church. As soon as he births wisdom, as soon as the dragon sees that a gathering has become the building of God, and the gathering, the woman is pregnant, and the gathering of this people is giving birth to a child, which is Christ, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. the dragon, the high places are highly activated to fight against this church and against the child, against the wisdom of God. Is the war of the altars? It is the war of the wisdom. It is the warfare of the altars. It is the warfare of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Anointing is something else, is to cast out demon, but it cannot defeat principalities and power. What can defeat principality and power is when the church gives birth to hidden wisdom of God. When the church realizes the mysteries of God, the knowledge of Christ through the scripture, which enlightens their mind and their mindset is renewed. Strongholds are broken and they know the reality of altars, of high places, of seducing spirits, of whatever I am teaching you. That means this church is pregnant and this church is giving birth to a child called the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? When Jesus was born physically, Herod was afraid. Jerusalem was troubled because that was Christ in the flesh. Now, you know what? Christ is coming. Christ is supposed to come, but many church are not pregnant. We are supposed to. Christ came in the flesh. Herod attacked him. Now Christ is supposed to come in wisdom of God through the church of God. Because, oh God, hallelujah. Verse number 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The wisdom of God will rule the nations. Christ, the wisdom of God, with a rod of iron. You know what the rod of iron signifies? Rod of iron is a authority of forceful submission. Rod of iron is a what? Authority of forceful submission. Let me explain that to you. Do you know how many times the devil is not afraid of Jesus? I mean, the devil is rebellious, so much rebellious that he is not even afraid of God. That's why he's rebelling against God, trying his best to bring down God. So for the devil to become obedient, a forceful authority has to force him to submissive. It says at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess of those on earth, under the earth, and in the heaven. That means along with the princes, the powers, the demons, along with Lucifer, everyone. Lucifer does not like to submit, but the rod of iron will make him to submit. That is the authority of forceful submission. When you operate in God's wisdom, someone hates you to the core and wants to kill you. But yet, when you go before them or when they come before you, they will be forced under the authority of wisdom you have to speak nothing against you. That is forceful submission, the rod of iron, the rod of iron. My God, Ramono Kozapati Arava. Enough of hanky-panky prayers. The rod of iron needs to come into picture because this devil is rebellious. You think he will listen to you? He will not listen to you until you make him forcefully submit to the commands that you utter. And the commands that you utter will be wisdom. The wisdom, he will come. The child is going to rule the nations with the rod of iron. With the rod of iron. With the rod of iron. Like your child. You tell him, go and study. Go and study the Bible. Never listens. Never listens. You just tell him, go and study the Bible. 7 years old child. Never listens. But the day you take a rod of iron and go and study. No, I will not go and study. I will not listen to you. But you come from the back and spank him on his butts. You are beating me. Yes, I am beating you until you're not a tie. You give him spankings. And he will, oh, my mother is beating. I have to study. And he will go and study. Forceful submission. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Yes, the Bible says when the children are small, not when they are grown up, you need to use a rod of correction to correct them, to discipline them. I know that's not in the American culture. You will be thrown in the prison. The children can call the police, my mom bet. Even the children call the police and say, my mom just told me to study. I did not want her to study. She is going against my will. The police can catch. That is the That is the false wisdom that is ruling America, but it needs to break in Jesus' name. The rod of iron will make the devil submit. All right. Verse number 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. And then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1260 days. There is multiple interpretation to the prophecy. I'm not going into the prophecy to explain it, but we are looking at it from the context of birthing out wisdom. Verse number 7, and a war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this is what will happen. God is waiting for the church to be pregnant with God's wisdom. Okay? When the church will be pregnant and birth out a child, which is God's wisdom. Remember Ephesians chapter number 9? Ephesians chapter number 3? What it says? Now look at that verse. You will understand that verse. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, that is the child, might be known by the church, the woman birthing the child, to who? To the principality and powers, to the darkness, to the dragon in the heavenly places. As a church, my question to the church, to the body of Christ is, are you ready and are you willing to birth out the wisdom of God as the body of Christ that will provoke the principalities and the powers to fight? And when they are provoked to fight, they will not win, because Michael and the archangels will come and cast them down from the realms of heaven. Do you know the devil still occupies the second heavens? The devil still occupies, the devil still has entry to the throne room, because the Bible says he accuses the brethren where? Like in the book of Job, he was accusing Job. But when the church will be raised up to its full potential in the ministry of intercession, priesthood, will understand altars, will understand high places, will understand what is seducing spirit, and will keep themselves pure as the woman clothed with the sun, darkness under her feet, 12 stars. When the church will become like that, the church will birth out God's wisdom, which will activate a warfare between Lucifer and his angels and Michael and his angels. And what will happen is, the result will be Michael and his archangels will win in Revelation 12. And what they will do is cast down the devil on the earth. You know what does that mean? The access of the devil and the fallen angels and of the demons will be cut from the first and the second heavens. And the only access that they will have is in the realms of the earth. That is the time they will start to gather the dead souls of kings and armies together and bring them together to fight against heaven. Because now they cannot operate from the first and second heaven. They can operate only in the realms of the earth. Listen to it again, you will understand. That's what it says in Revelation. Oh God, I will stop after this. Oh God, it's... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 12. See what it says. So the great, verse number 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the what? Earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So he can no longer go in the second heaven. Can no longer go to the first heaven. Because the church provoked a warfare, and Michael and the archangels cast him down. I'm waiting for that time to come when he will be cast down to the earth realm, no access to the second and the first. And then see what it says. After that happened, verse number 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. What does that mean? The accuser can no longer accuse. That means his access to the first and second heaven had been cut off. No longer he can accuse. No longer he can bring cases to God. Because Michael and the archangels have casted. Verse number 11 it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Okay, hallelujah. Stay. You can read the whole chapter. I don't have time. Let me stop here. Let me stop you. The church has to rise up to its potential. And the potential of the church is to show forth and the manifold, to show forth and manifest the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and power. Jesus came to do the same. Josiah came to do the same. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to decree and declare, and we want to prophesy. I want to prophesy once again that you are the Josiah to your family. You are the Josiah to your city. You become the Josiah to the nations. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to stand up against the high places. Oh, Rezek, against the seducing spirit. It's some believers can't even discern between the food. They eat every food. Believers, rise up tonight. Even as I pray for you, if you receive the word, your eyes will open up. Your spiritual senses will open up. Too much sugar has destroyed you and paralyzed your spiritual senses. It's time to receive the book of the prophecy, the book of God, which when you eat, it will be honey, but it will make your system bitter, but it will heal your system. It will give activation to your spiritual senses that you will be able to discern. Oh, Rebra Kazia Taraba, that you will not eat of the stolen water or drink of the stolen water and eat of the bread and secret from the house of the clamorous woman. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, this is my prayer tonight, that you are making an altar of living stones. You are making a church. Oh, Lord, a building. Oh, Lord, where the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ, laid on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. In the name of Jesus Christ, that will manifest and give birth to the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, Lord, to the principalities of and power that are the gods and the deities of the high places. In Jesus' name, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take up the rod of iron. We take up the apostolic rod. We take up the power of the blood of Jesus. We take up the name of Jesus. We take up all the ammunitions and weaponries for warfare. And we cry out against every high place. I cry out against every high place. With the weaponries of the Spirit and by the word of the Lord, every high place that is holding the destiny of men, that is holding the destiny of your people, Lord, be broken in Jesus' name. Be destroyed tonight in Jesus' name. Any house which is a high place and not a church, Lord, oh Lord, I pray, every furniture of that high place, Lord, every idols, every images, Lord, be thrown out tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, by Josiah's in Jesus' name, let your people arise like Gideon, Lord, who was asked to destroy the wooden image, Lord, and the altar of Baal and the images of Ashtoreth, Lord. And he did it, Lord. He did it, Lord. And salvation for Israel came from his life and from his house, because God, in the time, in the book of Judges, God was searching for someone who can give his life and his house to be an altar unto God. But he was finding none, because everyone's house was a high place to Baal and Ashtoreth. So God came to Gideon and he said, you are a mighty man of valor, but you have lost your identity because of the existence of the altar of Baal. When there is an altar, evidence of the altar of Baal, of a high place of Baal, you know what that spirit does? The spirit makes you believe in an identity which is not you. So he said, oh, I am a small man. I am a tiny man. But the angel of God said, you are a mighty man of valor. You will deliver Israel. And before you could do what you are supposed to do, go and destroy the altar of Baal in your father's household. Destroy the image of Ashtoreth and the wooden and the carved image. Destroy it completely. Once you destroy it, afterwards, when you destroy it, your life and your house will be consecrated unto God because you destroyed the high place, the deity that was ruling over your family. And then Gideon was used by God. You see that? Then God could use Gideon. It's time for you to arise and destroy the high places that rules your family. Yes, it's time for you to arise and get rid of the altars. It's time for you to arise and stop being emotional and fight like a woman of God. Fight like a man of God. Be merciless to those whom God is merciless, the priests of Baal. Release fire against them. The priesthood that is still holding you captive, the high place priests. Hallelujah. The Bible says Josiah burned them. Josiah destroyed them. Josiah executed them. Josiah expelled them. Hallelujah. If you need God to shine through you, hallelujah, the glory of God to be upon you in this darkness, you need to arise and destroy high places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was searching for a man, for a house through whom an altar, a sanctified place can be built unto him, because all of them are high places. When God comes to search for people, everywhere there is high place. Who will listen to God like Gideon and go and destroy the high place? Go and destroy the high place and confirm allegiance with heaven. Confirm allegiance with God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Tonight is the time, brethren. Hallelujah. To say to God, like Josiah, like Gideon, I am ready to destroy the high places. Oh, ready to throw out every furniture of the high places. I'm ready to break my allegiance with the priesthood of the high places and align with you. Commit my life to serve you at your altar, Lord. Oh, Lord, that you will, oh, Lord, use me. You will sanctify me tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. That I will be the Josiah of my ancestral line in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your deliverance in the midst of your people. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. Oh God, arise. Let your enemies be scattered, Lord. Let your people arise, Lord. Let your people arise. Let your church be built in Jesus' name, your true church. Hallelujah. I cover all the people, Lord, with the blood of Jesus, Lord. Let your hand of protection, favor, healing be upon them, Lord. Let them be in your presence, in your word, Lord, and not aligned to anything that is of the high places in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabo Siata Barabo Sekrebento. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lo Rafanza Rabarabaraba Sianta Raban Sokrobo Shokrobo. Rababo Sharabarabarabo Se Adraba. Hallelujah. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's shout amen. Hallelujah. Amen.